Hello, this is Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman of Columbia University speaking to you today for Medscape. My comments could be called When Clinical Practice Leaps Ahead of Research and Evidence, and is occasioned by the growing interest in utilizing the treatment ketamine for psychiatric disorders. Now, ketamine has proved to be, ever since it was first researched, by groups at Yale, the NIMH, Mount Sinai School of Medicine, proved to be a real boon to people who have treatment-resistant depression. However, things have moved along at such an accelerated pace as to pose a concern and, frankly, I think a danger to our field. And our field doesn't need to have any more missteps. In the past, we've suffered from a lot of unfounded theories, ineffective or harmful treatments, and that has given us what could be called a checkered history or notorious past, which thankfully, in the latter part of the 20th century, we've emerged from resoundingly on the wave of scientific research, and now have an array of treatments for most mental disorders that are effective, safe, and make huge differences in people's lives. However, we can't afford to shoot ourselves in the foot again and undermine the credibility that has been slow and hard won and still is suspected or skeptical. Many people are skeptical of. What pushed my button this time was receiving an email from a colleague to whom I referred a patient who suffered from depression. And the colleague was telling me about the patients, updating me on their history and what had happened most recently, and the fact that he was going to be referring the patient for ketamine treatment. And specifically said that this treatment was going to be administered by a private center called the Ketamine Treatment Centers of America. And in this case, the particular clinic was operated by a physician who had retrained in psychiatry from another field of medicine at an advanced age. Now, when I looked at the proposed protocol for how the patient was to be treated in this way, they were going to receive like a course of up to 12 treatments in a relatively short period of time. And that clearly raised a red flag in my mind in terms of what the standard research supports about the prudent way to use ketamine. So I looked at the website of this clinic, and about the same time I was doing this, by coincidence or fate, I got an email, and the email was titled to Dear Jeffrey Lieberman, and it was from the Ketamine Treatment Centers. And it was inviting me to attend a dinner meeting in one of the various cities in which this was being offered, at which they would personally describe the benefits of ketamine, how they use it, and obviously this was a solicitation for me to refer patients to them. The principals in this organization are a psychiatrist who is trained at an American university, but has no particular academic expertise, and a anesthesiologist who similarly is early in his career, has no particular expertise in psychiatry, and is working along with a psychiatrist to administer ketamine, which, as you know, has previously been used as a dissociative anesthetic. And they recommend that this treatment be considered for a variety of disorders, not just treatment-resistant depression, but anxiety, PTSD, OCD, and pain disorders, including fibromyalgia. Well, I think this is really problematic. I mean, we in medicine see new advances, new treatments, new technologies, and there's certainly a tendency to leap on the bandwagon. But it's one thing to do that when it comes to a new technological advancements, let's say like robotic surgery, and to use it at greater expense, but not necessarily knowing if it provides any incremental benefit in efficacy. but surgeons have certainly done this. There doesn't seem to be a downside other than cost. The research is still ongoing to see whether it provides beyond safety in terms of rapidity of recovery any added benefit in efficacy. But ketamine is different. Ketamine is a dissociative anesthetic which acts by, it's an uncompetitive antagonist at the NMDA glutamate receptor. And this receptor is been studied in a variety of contexts and known to be a receptor which can mediate something called excitatory neurotoxicity if stimulated too much or too frequently. In fact, probably the most scholarly and informative current publication about what is the current state of ketamine treatment for depression and any other mental disorder was recently published in JAMA Psychiatry by Gerard Santacora and colleagues. And it was really initiated at the behest of the American Psychiatric Association to give clinicians an understanding of what we currently know and how it should be used. And it's a very prudent and scholarly communication. so you can find that, if you like, in the JAMA Psychiatry in April 2017. And a companion paper in the same issue came from Washington University in St. Louis from the chair of psychiatry there, Charles Chuck Zaremski, who's a well-known psychiatric neuroscientist. But the significance of it, this report coming from Chuck, is the fact that it was at WashU where colleagues of Chuck performed some of the first studies which elucidated the pharmacology of the glutamate NMDA receptors and what their potential benefits and risks are in terms of utilizing different pharmacologic compounds to modulate them. And the classic studies were done showing that too much activation of NMDA receptors could produce toxicity of these receptors and result in cell process ablation and possibly even cell death. So Dr. Zaremski, in his commentary, says that there's little doubt that ketamine is having a major effect on psychiatry and should be used. However, while the science is being elucidated, it should be used prudently and very cautiously. Basic science studies that are being done show that it may not even be ketamine acting at the glutamate receptor, which is producing the therapeutic antidepressant effect. It may be that ketamine is a prodrug, and it's the metabolite of glutamate of ketamine that is producing the therapeutic effect at a different receptor, a receptor which, as he can say, but is really not something that I'm well acquainted with, the alpha-amino-3-hydroxy-5-methyl-4-isohexosylpropionic acid class of glutamate receptors. So this is a work in progress. And for clinicians to engage in this kind of reckless application of it, which is leaping ahead of evidence, is very, very dangerous, in my opinion. And I'm very sorry to have to say, it's not just that people are being overzealous in their application of what they think might be a panacea, but it's driven by the profit motive. When you have a program where you have treatment centers distributed in different cities, soliciting referrals of people through the same kind of promotional activities for which pharmaceutical companies were dinged by a conflict of interest, criticisms, and governmental panels of inquiry in the past, this is just bad. And when you then see who are the principal proprietors of these for-profit entities, being physicians in mid or late career who retrain in order to leap on what may be profitable gravy train, it really it doesn't pass the smell test. And I certainly wouldn't be sending my patients to these places unless they were thoroughly vetted and I could be assured of their competence and the fidelity of their principal motivations. So I think it's really imperative that we bear in mind that when a potentially breakthrough innovation that can mean all the difference in the world for some patients that existing therapies haven't worked for come about, that we manage their application in a responsible, professional way, which doesn't endanger them and further endanger the reputation of our field and really set us back. So I commend to you reading the consensus statement by Dr. Santacora. This was in JAMA Psychiatry in April 2017, and the accompanying commentary by Charles Zaremski, that was in it also. And if you receive, like I did, these solicitations for companies, I would not go for a free meal in order to hear their pitch, but to really decline, because it's not prudent practice, and we haven't seen the last chapter on this story being written. Hopefully it'll end in a way that is positive, helpful, and also has not caused any injury to people in the meantime. But the way in which these treatments have to be administered until we know all that we need to about them has to be done in an extremely careful way and according to what the evidence that we are in possession of currently supports. So thank you for listening. This is Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman of Columbia University speaking to you from Medscape.